Prime Time, where you're tuned to Turn on the News, Free 103.9's daily look at radio art, radio news, and media news and more. We've been tuning into songs and sounds from the Titanic disaster and talking about its impact on radio history. We just heard Gavin Bryars' 1969 classic composition, The Sinking of the Titanic. Here's Aphex Twin's remix called Raising the Titanic. And I'm Tom Rowe.
I'm Richard Roth.
I'm Ellen Thurston.
And I'm Peter Krug.
And we want to talk more, a little bit more about what else. This weekend is the 100th anniversary of the Titanic sinking, which was April 15th, 1912. And the ship set sail, I think, 100 years ago. Was it this past Sunday, Peter?
April 10th, 1912, it left Southampton, England, which was the last spot in Europe that it was stopping at.
It picked up passengers where else, do you remember?
It was built in Belfast in Northern Ireland. It started it out from there. It picked up passengers in Queenstown in Ireland, stopped in Cherbourg, France, and finally in Southampton, England.
And what events you were talking about, the 100th anniversary events this weekend?
Yes, they're having a rather big celebration in Belfast, where the Titanic was built. They're having one in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, where they have built a half-size replica of the front end of the Titanic. And they have everything from fireworks to with what they consider the original rockets that were used on the ship, or the type of rocket that was a distress signal. They have the one I mentioned on Wellfleet, Massachusetts, which is on Cape Cod. The original Marconi station, which was in communication with both the Titanic and the ship that rescued the survivors, the Carpathia, that night. The original Marconi station is not there. The base of it is, and they're going to lay a wreath as part of the ceremony. They're going to have some special movies that have to do with the disaster. They have a whole 2 days of events. I found these by putting myself on a Google alert for any 100th year celebrations. So I didn't read all the ones all over the world.
That is, there's thousands, literally, I think. I know about it, like about 100 shortwave radio operators around the planet that are doing different shortwave broadcasts in association with the event, because it was such an important radio event at the time. I mean, it shaped the future of radio immensely at the time.
Yes, the Titanic had a Morse code system on there, a Marconi system, and it had, among other things that were part of it, a huge antenna which stretched across most of the ship from the mast in the front to the mast in the back. And they needed that kind of antenna then to have any kind of a range with the radio at all. So there were a number of ships that picked up the Titanic's distress signal that were too far away to get to them in time. The Carpathia was 57 miles away, and at about 17 knots, her top speed, she was able to get there in about 3 hours, which was after the ship had already sunk.
And I think their radio men had gone to sleep like about a half hour before it sank or something, too, and they didn't get the radio distress signals. They saw the flares, apparently, I guess.
Well, that was the California.
Oh, the other ship. Okay,
it was probably only 8 to 10 miles away from the Titanic.
Right, it was closer, yes.
Stopped for the night in the ice field.
And sent out a message saying it was stopped for the ice because it was surrounded by icebergs and they didn't want to move.
And
that the Titanic received that message.
That's right. And Phillips, who was the radio operator on the Titanic, was sending messages from the passengers to people at Cape Race. And so he sent a thing to the California, get off the air, you're messing up my signals.
Because he was sending like messages from passengers saying, like, we're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, or whatever their message might be, but it was nothing very urgent or important. They were just general messages.
Yes. So after that, the radio operator on the Californian turned off the radio, and he didn't go to bed right away. He was up on deck, and he saw the distress signals, the rockets. He went down and woke up the captain and told him, but the captain didn't want to do anything about it. So here was a ship within a few miles that could have gotten there in time to save a lot more people. Just one of many ironies that went along with the Titanic.
Well, was it because the captain was worried about the iceberg surrounding, or he just was too tired and didn't want to
You know, I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that one, and it's probably contained in – there were two inquiries after the disaster. One was done in London, and the other was done in Washington by Senator Smith. And those kind of questions were asked. Why didn't the captain do something?
These inquiries were like akin to the Kennedy assassination, kind of the Warren Report kind of for the Titanic.
And there was a dispute whether the Californian was actually there or not, even though people saw from the Titanic saw lights of another ship. So I think that's how it got answered, creating a sense of confusion whether the ship was actually in the vicinity or not.
That's all fascinating. And you guys were telling me about this song that came out of the Titanic you explained the song, I guess. Set up the song, because we've got a version to play.
I don't know how far back the song goes, but I know when I was a child they were singing it, and including my father and my godfather, they both knew the song. They knew a number of real verses. There are quite a few verses to it, and a number of made-up verses. So it was a rather festive song, as you'll hear, not exactly in keeping with the disaster itself. More than that, I don't know about the song, except that I learned a few verses when I was young.
All right, written by an unknown writer in Alabama in 1915, this is the Pete Seeger version of the Titanic, or When the Great Ship Went Down.
It was on one Monday morning, just about 1 o'clock, when that great ship Titanic began to reel and rock. People began to scream and cry, saying, Lord, am I going to die? It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad, it was sad, it was sad when that great ship went down. Husbands and wives, little children lost their lives. It was sad when that great ship went down. When that ship left England, it was making for the shore. The rich refused to associate with the poor, so they put the poor below. They were the first to go. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad, it was sad, it was sad when that great ship went down. Husbands and wives, little children lost their lives. It was sad when that great ship went down. While they were building, they said what they would do. We will build a ship that the water can't go through. But God with power in hand showed the world that it could not stand. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad, it was sad, it was sad when the great ship went down. Husbands and wives, little children lost their lives. It was sad when that great ship went down. Those people on that ship were a long ways from home. With friends all around, they didn't know that the time had come. Death came riding by, 1,600 had to die. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad, it was sad, it was sad when that great ship went down. Husbands and wives, little children lost their lives. It was sad when that great ship went down. While Paul was sailing his men all around, God told him that not a man should drown. If you trust in me and obey, I will save you all today. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad, it was sad, it was sad when that great ship went down. Husbands and wives, little children lost their lives. It was sad when that great ship went down. You know, it must have been awful with those people on the sea. They say that they were singing, nearer my God to thee. While some were homeward bound, 1,600 had to drown. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad, it was sad. It was sad when that great ship went down. Husbands and wives, little children lost their lives. It was sad when that great ship went down.
Legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned. Concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Then later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling?
wind and the wires made a tattletale sound, and the wave broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing. The dawn came late and the breakfast had to wait, when the gales of November came slashing. When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind. Time came, the old cook came on deck saying, "Fellas, it's too rough to feed you." At 7 p.m. a main hatchway gave in. He said, "Fellas, it's been good to know you." The captain wired in, he had water coming in, and the good ship and crew was in peril. Later that night, when his lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? The searchers all say they'd have made Whitefish Bay if they'd put 15 more miles behind her. They might have split up or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep and took water. And all that remains is the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters. Lake Huron rolls, Superior sings in the rooms of her ice water mansion. Old Michigan steams like a young man's dreams. The islands and bays are for sportsmen. And farther below, Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send her. And the iron boats go, as the mariners all know, with the gales of November remembered. In a musty old hall in Detroit they prayed, in the Maritime Sailors' Cathedral. The church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald. The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. Superior, they said, never gives up her dead when the gales of November come early.
That was Gordon Lightfoot with The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and before that, William and Versie Smith with When That Great Ship Went Down, and before that, the Pete Seeger version of that same song. That's the Morse code stress call for the Titanic, which was the MGY. That was its shortwave code. So if you're talking about MGY, that's the Titanic. And this weekend, all kinds of shortwave broadcasts are going on across the world, mostly in the North Atlantic, as the ship left England and was headed to New York. It's Maritime Radio Day in the North Atlantic, held annually in the month of April because of the sinking of the Titanic on its anniversary. So it's such an important radio day, and there are broadcasts from Belfast, from the Project White Star, from the SS Nomadic, White Star Line, Southampton Docks. There's a shortwave broadcast. There's the Queenstown Titanic Commemoration Station. They're all across the North Atlantic, Cape Race, Shetland, Newfoundland, Northampton, all sorts of shortwave calls. You can go to coastradio.intco.biz for links to as you search for shortwave Titanic anniversary broadcast. Look at the WOS Titanic special event station. That's April 13th through April 15th. And go to WOS.org or WZeros.com for more information about that. There's broadcast for the Carpathia, the other ship, all sorts of different broadcasts. Your shortwave radio dial, I'm sure, is full of radio news. And we also wanted to talk about the impact of the broadcast. We haven't gotten to, an impact of the sinking on broadcasts and broadcast law in the United States and in England. There were radio inquiries in both London and the United States. The United States had previously had only the Wireless Ship Act of 1910 regulating broadcast between ships and for emergencies, and it was generally considered a weak law at the time. Congress had tried six different proposals between 1910 and 1912 to replace it, but then the sinking of the Titanic got them to get their act together. That doesn't sound like an unfamiliar story, does it? So the 1912 Radio Act, it early radiohistory.com. It did all sorts of things, named normal wavelengths, other wavelengths, defined pure wave, sharp wave, standard distress wave. It standardized the SOS call as three dots, three dashes, and three dots, and as SOS, all caps, no spaces in between, in writing it out. So it did change these kind of distress signals and standardized communication between stations, and needed to be licensed as a mandated shipboard wireless operators have licenses, mandated that vessels had the continuing capability to receive messages on two wavelengths, the 300 meter and the 600 meter, and this meant that vessels would need to have more than one operator on duty at all times. So those were the immediate repercussions in the United States, and similar waves happened all across the world, especially in London, too, where the impact was also huge, of course, in terms of radio and humanity. It was quite an event.
There's got to be a morning after. can hold on through the night. We have a chance to find the sunshine. Let's keep on looking for the light. Oh, can't you see the morning after? It's waiting right outside the storm. Why don't we cross the bridge together and find the place that's safe and warm? It's not too late. We should be giving. Only with love can we climb. It's not too late.
Next up, the CBS television show I've Got a Secret in 1960 gave almost 10 minutes of airtime to avant-garde transmission art. Tune in now.
Hi there. Now, may we have our next contestant, please? Will you come in? Would you tell our panel, please, what your name is and where you're from?
My name is John Cage. I'm from Stony Point, New York.
Mr. Cage, and he is from New York. Now, Mr. Cage is a musician. He is a composer. He teaches a course in music at the New School here in New York. Now, Mr. Cage, if you'll whisper your secret to me, we'll show it to those folks out there, huh? All right. Well, that's very interesting. And there must be more. Squarely to our producer. Chester, in this event, we have a magnificent demonstration to make. Should we skip the game?
It's up to you.
It's up to me. I'll go for it because I would like to have a discussion period open at the end of this. Mr. Cage, we're going to skip the whole game because we want to have time for what's to come.
Yes.
All right. I would like to tell you that Mr. Cage's secret is that he's going to play one of his musical compositions tonight. He is probably the most controversial figure in the musical world today, and when you hear his performance, if you will forgive me, you will understand why. The instruments that he will use include a water pitcher, an iron pipe, a goose call, a bathtub, 5 radios all hooked up, and what is the latest status? Are they hooked? Are they working or not? I'll explain this later. They're not. And a grand piano. Now, Mr. Cage, I know that you teach a course in experimental sound at the New School.
Experimental music.
Experimental music.
Yes.
Will you tell us quite seriously whether or not you consider what we're about to hear music? No tongue-in-cheek,
well,
but serious.
No, perfectly seriously, I consider music the production of sounds. And since in the piece which you will hear I produce sounds, I would call it music.
You will call it music, all right. Now, lest you think this is some sort of a stunt, I would like to show you a review of a new album that Mr. Cage has made. This was in last Sunday's New York Herald Tribune. It is not entirely favorable. It says, however, on records, his weird sounds, bells, cymbals, prepared pianos, and electronic devices exert a surprising degree of charm and affability. Then it goes on to say that certain compositions of his are really a delight to the ear. This is something that cannot be said of quite a few other of the Cage items. But the Tribune takes him seriously as a composer, and this as a new art form. Inevitably, Mr. Cage, these are nice people, but some of them are going to laugh. Is that all right?
Of course. I consider laughter preferable to tears.
Nice man. All right, let's show the a panel, first of all, so we can get full scope for our cameras. Will you pull the desk back, please? Sorry about the game, but I think the time is more valuable.
I have an idea about the radios. Instead of turning them on, as I have written to do, I will hit them every time I turn them on, and it's supposed to turn them on.
Well, now, let me say this. The audience doesn't know what we're talking about.
Okay.
Let me say this. That Mr. Cage has consented to play this composition not as it was written, because a few hours before airtime, a jurisdictional union dispute arose between two unions as to who had the jurisdiction of plugging in the five radios. It has not been resolved as of right now, and so Mr. Cage has consented to do this, provided I make the announcement that the two unions came to a dispute and couldn't settle.
Well, I've decided to, instead of turning them on as I would normally, I will hit the top of each radio instead. That will produce a sound of some kind. Then when I turn them off, I will knock them off the table.
Good. I'm with you, boy. All right, let's see this instrument.
Great, thank you.
That's it. Yes, the title of the composition is what, Mr. Cage?
Water Walk, because it contains water and because I walk during its performance.
That figures, doesn't it? Now, also, two things I want you to notice. Over here, Mr. Cage has a tape recording machine, which will provide much of the... Will you touch the machine so we can know where it is? Which will provide much of the background. Also, he works with a stopwatch. The reason he does this is because these sounds are in no sense accidental in their sequence. They each must fall mathematically at a precise point. So he watches his watch as he works. He takes it seriously. I think it's interesting. If you are amused, you may laugh. If you like it, you may buy the recording. John Cage and Water Walk.
Thank you. Take care.
Next up, a song about the transmission of disease, and then listening to the radio late at night.
Down along the avenue, some guys were shooting pool, and I
remember when you came into my life. I said I'm gonna get that girl no matter what I do. Well, I guess I've been in love before, once or twice I've been on the floor, but I never loved no one the way that I love you. And it was late in the evening, and all the music seeping through.
That was Paul Simon with Late in the Evening, and before that, a Donner Party with Sickness on Turn on the News. You've been listening to Turn on the News, Free 103.9's daily look at radio art, radio news, media news, and more. You can tune in to Turn on the News at free103.9.org, on Free 103.9 online radio, and at WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, in upstate New York.